Murder in Manhattan. This is certainly an interesting book, and it came about in kind of an interesting way. You were kind of the instigator in some respects. Tell me how this all developed.
Well, for about 10 years now, I've been a member of the Mystery Writers of America. That's a group that gives the Edgar Award. And as a member of the group, I met a lot of writers. And one of the things that I particularly missed was a conversation about craft. And it, at every opportunity, I would talk to Mary Higgins Clark and sometimes Gregory MacDonald about craft. But I thought, and it would be a good idea to put a group together just to talk about craft. So about a year and a half ago, Mary Higgins Clark and I put these people together. We knew all of the people in the group, and that's how it started.
So you began meeting where?
At Bella Vita Restaurant. It's 75th Street and York Avenue. And what we wanted was a round table, and we didn't know where we could find a place to meet. So one night, I was having dinner there with Mary Higgins Clark, and the owner of the restaurant, Adam, said he just opened up a new back room, and he wanted to show it to us. So we looked back there, and there was a round table there, and we asked him if we could have our meetings there on the first Tuesday of every month. And he said yes, and that's how it started.
So you invited people who shared your interest in discussing the form, the craft of mystery writing.
What we try to do, at least as far as I'm concerned, I really wanted to have people in the group that I felt I could learn from. And this was not, there are plenty of other writers that are not in the group who are just as good writers as the nine of us in the group, but we wanted to keep it small. So Mary chose some of the people, and I chose the others, and the nine of us got together.
Now, you say you wanted to have people in the group that you can learn from. But
yes.
You've been writing for so long and so successfully, and you're the type of guy who can actually write on demand. I mean, how much are you going to learn from someone else?
Well, I'll tell you, I really do have a theory about writing. I think that writing can be learned, and I don't think it can be taught, but I think it can be learned. And my whole life has been spent learning how to write, and I continue to try to learn how to write. And by that I mean the craft of writing. I constantly want to find new ways of doing things, and I think there is no better teacher than another writer. And so that's why we put this group together.
Well, that's kind of a hard question. Maybe it's impossible to answer, at least in the short time that we have. But when you talk about the craft of writing, what exactly do you mean, the craft of writing?
Well, for example, I think that what I mean by that is going page by page, chapter by chapter, seeing a story develop. I don't think many writers just sit down and write flat out. You do a lot of thinking as you go along. You sometimes encounter problems. And we discuss these kind of things in our group sessions.
I'm sorry I interrupted you. We were talking about the craft and exactly what that is.
to me, it's really learning to use words as well as you can. And that's what I consider the craft of writing. And and I feel that I continue to learn by reading, by discussing problems with other writers. It's an ongoing thing with me.
Well, when you have your meetings, do you discuss the craft in general terms, or do you actually look at each other's work and talk about it?
No, we really don't look at each other's work. That's not really what we're about. As a matter of fact, this book, Murder in Manhattan, came out of this quite by accident as far as I'm concerned. We had no intention of writing anything together, and we never show each other our work particularly, but sometimes we do. I mean, for example, I have had someone read my work occasionally, and some of the other writers have done the same with me. I mean, they've given me their work. But really what I guess I'm talking about is there are all kinds of things, and I consider this craft. For example, I can't write until I have the characters' names right for me. And I didn't realize that most of the writers in this group share the same problem. I just can't write until I have my main characters' names the way I want them. And I can spend weeks doing this, really. So but I discovered that this was true of the other writers, and also we discussed how we come to choose the names. By that I mean it isn't just looking in the telephone directory. It's playing around with names until they feel right to you. And it's that kind of thing that we discuss.
That's interesting. Well, now you've had a collaboration with Bill Adler for a long time, but how did he get involved in Murder in Manhattan?
Well, Bill and I are friends, and we have lunch occasionally, and Bill has many ideas. He's an amazing man. He really is an amazing man. So I was having lunch with him one day, and he was asking me what I was doing, and I told him about the group. And he said, you know, that's exciting. That's an exciting thing. And then he went away, as it's been the case before, and a couple of days later, he called me, and we got together, and he said, listen, I think there are nine of us in the group. He said, I think that that your group ought to put a collection together, the title to be Murder in Manhattan, and each of you write a different about a different section of the city. So I took the idea back to the group, and everybody was in favor of it, and that's how this came about.
These are all stories expressly written for Murder in Manhattan.
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
It should be noted that Bill Adler is something called a book packager, right?
And agent, yes.
What is a book packager or agent?
Well, for example, he could probably tell you that better. I really don't know much about this sort of thing, but he frequently comes up, when he packages a book, he comes up with a concept for the book and has a fair idea of how it should be done. That is, not the writing of it, but if you will, how the book would be produced, the physically produced. Like, he's involved with thinking about the jacket and the title, as I say, and the idea of setting every story in a different section of Manhattan. That was his idea. And that's what, as I understand it, what he does when he functions as a book packager.
So, essentially, he comes up with the concept and arranges to have it produced and written, and then
He takes it to the publisher, exactly.
Now, this is what he did with the book that you wrote earlier, Who Killed the Robbins Family, and its sequel.
That's right.
Now, tell me a little bit about how that developed. That was kind of interesting because I think, as I recall, the solution was not in the book.
That's right.
At the time.
Right.
So anybody who bought the book was, in a way, left hanging.
Well, that was the first time I met Bill Adler. My lawyer, Leonard Franklin, had lunch with Bill Adler one day, and he called me and he said, I was talking to Bill Adler about you, and I knew who Bill Adler was, and he said he'd like to see you and talk over some ideas for a book. So I just didn't think it would work. I mean, any idea, I'd never worked like this before. But in any event, I went in to see Bill, and we sat around, we talked for about an hour, and we talked about different kinds of stories, and nothing much. It was sort of like I thought it was going to be before I went to see him, in that I've never been able really to take somebody else's idea and work with it. So as I was leaving, he said to me, would you come back and see me again? So I said, sure. So a couple of days later, I went back to see him, and again, we sat for about an hour. And I was just getting up to leave, and he said, what would you think of doing a book in which there are a series of murders, and there's no solution, and the publisher would pay a $10,000 reward for the solutions? Well, I really fell off the chair. I thought it was absolutely stunning idea. It intrigued me. It truly intrigued me, because it was just the feeling about it. And what I really liked on that book was that the idea of the reward, not a prize, but a reward for solving murders. So that's how that book came into being. And I had a lot of problems with that book. First of all, I didn't know how to do it. I simply didn't. I really didn't know how to do it. I tried to figure it out, and then I wrote the first chapter, and I had already decided I was going to do some funny stuff with it, and one of them was crossing the international date line, because it was when and where and all that, and the clues had to be in there. So, therefore, I put the first chapter was on a boat, a yacht, and it turned out to be what I guess you would call a locked room on the boat, on the yacht. Now, when I finished that chapter, I suddenly realized that this is what I would do. I would take every one of the things that have been done in the mystery story and play with them. So that I did one on a desert island and one on the Orient Express, and that's how that book came to be written. I had great fun with that book. I really had great fun with it.
So did the readers.
Yes, they did.
Well, let's go back. How did you get involved in the craft of writing? How did it all start?
True story. It goes back to I was about 3 years old, and I couldn't read, and I was desperate to read. I would pick up a book and sit there and hold it in my hands and pretend I was reading. And then when I learned to read, I guess about 5 or 6, immediately I read and read and read, and of course then I wanted to write. And that's all I've ever wanted to do. That's all I've ever wanted to do. And I did various kinds of writing, newspaper work, some radio scripts, advertising. I worked for Young and Rubicam. And then I started writing for the magazines. I wrote for Holiday and Publishers Weekly. And from that, I wrote a couple of paperback books. And
mysteries?
No, not really, not really. When it was, I guess, 12 years ago now, 1974, I had decided I had to write a book. I had to write a book and stop this freelancing, which is what I was doing at that time. It was just too difficult. So a friend of mine said that there was a new publishing house starting, and that the guy was looking for books, and he suggested I go see him. My life has always been like that. I can't explain it, but so I went in to see the publisher, and he wanted me to do a nonfiction book, the kind of thing I was doing for Holiday Magazine, which was little neighborhoods in different cities. He wanted me to go with, and that didn't interest me at all. I said, no, I want to write a novel, and I had had an idea kicking around in my head, the robbery of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And so I sat there and ad-libbed it to him. And he said, how much money do you need to write it? And I said, in those days, I said, well, I need $1,000 a month, and it will take me 7 months. He gave me a check for $7,000, and I walked out, and I wrote Pandora's Box. That was my first suspense novel. And I discovered then that all my life I'd been reading mysteries and suspense novels, as along with other things, for relaxation and just for pleasure. But I discovered that when I wrote Pandora's Box, that I had acquired a certain amount of, I would like to think, knowledge about the mystery story that I didn't know I had when it came to writing. And also, I was very pleased. It was a fun thing to do. And it gave me great pleasure. And that book was my first book, and it was a fairly successful book. And it launched me. So then I wrote one after another in the mystery field.
No holding you back. How many books have you written since that first one?
I'm just trying to think. I think it's about one a year since then, so that's about one a year.
Why do you suppose there's such an interest in mystery novels? Why mysteries have caught on so much? In fact, we know this is the case because we have some bookstores in the last 10 years or so that have sprung up that specialize only in mysteries. It's unheard of.
Yes. Well, you see, I think it's my guess that there, I'm sure there are a lot of answers, but I think that there's always been a dedicated readership for mysteries through all of time, going back to Edgar Allan Poe. And certainly in our time, there have been dedicated readers of the mystery, but I think that the general public simply didn't have access to a large extent to the books. And so they really didn't ever go out of their way to pick up a mystery. And I think they categorized it as something they weren't really interested in. But more and more in recent times, it's been my observation that the books have become accessible to a large audience now. And people are aware of them as they weren't ever before. Now, I think there are a lot of reasons why people read mysteries. I think one of, you know, just as there are so many people who read whatever their tastes are, but I think one of the things is that the writing of mysteries, the writing, the sheer writing, is very accessible to people. It's not difficult. And I think this has a lot to do with it. I think it's being accessible has a lot to do with the popularity and the interest now in the mystery.
Yeah, it's escape material, and most mysteries, thank goodness, don't have a message. You know the old saying, if you want a message, you call,
yes,
Western Union. So people can be entertained with a mystery and not have to sit there and say, hey, this guy's really trying to tell me something philosophical. You know, I've had all that.
Yes.
But so there's something else in a mystery. Is it the prerequisite that a mystery always includes a murder?
No, we've discussed this endlessly, both in the Mystery Writers of America and in our group. Nobody can really define. We've not been able to. Most people, of course, a murder mystery, there must be a murder in it. There are stories that are written, they're considered mystery stories, and there's no murder in it. So I don't, that's my...
There's no way to answer that question,
no,
but I think most mysteries do tend to have murders in them for some reason. That I'm trying to think of a mystery that I've read that doesn't. I probably have, but I can't think of any. But all the successful mysteries that come to the top of my mind seem to have murders.
Well, I think murder is, you know, murder is, after all, the ultimate act. And I think that... I think there is a great deal of fascination. That's not the right word. Curiosity about murder. It's, you know, it's the, been said before, it's the one act you can't take back. And I think murder mysteries, while they entertain, and I really believe that's their function, and it's certainly their primary function, it may be their only function, but I think when people read murder mysteries, it, in the sense that the murder is solved, it provides a kind of catharsis, a kind of understanding, if you will, a little bit of an understanding of this terrible act, even if they don't take it too seriously. But I think that is another one of the reasons why people read murder mysteries.
Are mysteries different today than they were, say, in the 1940s and 30s?
Well, they're different styles. There are more people writing mysteries today, of course. We have an enormous number of people writing and publishing mysteries. I don't know how to answer that, answer that question. Basically, I think they're the same. They're variations, but most murder mysteries really are variations on a theme. And that's about it, I think.
Probably the writing of mysteries is no different today than the writing of literature generally has changed. Probably mysteries have reflected the same changes as general fiction, don't you think?
I think so, although I think mainstream fiction perhaps has changed more than murder mysteries. I think that there's been a great restlessness on the part of mainstream fiction writers. This isn't a particularly perceptive thing for me to say, but you can see it, the experimental novels that go on, and though some of this goes on in the mystery field as well, it is an attempt to do something with the form, whether it's a fiction novel or the murder mystery, and I think a lot of writers are really trying to figure out new ways to write fiction, whether in the murder mystery or mainstream.
Are you yourself a big mystery reader?
At times, yes. I don't read as much fiction now. I was always a great reader of fiction, but I don't read much mainstream fiction now. When I'm writing, and I'm writing most of the time, I don't read too much. I simply don't read too much. But I enjoy it, and I still, you know, I read enough to keep up with what's going on, I think.
Well, I hope that someday nobody is going to write a novel called Murder at the Bella Vista Roundtable.
You know, Bill
uh-oh.
Bill Adler once said, maybe sometime later on you would all like to take a try at writing a book, a complete novel, and it might be that it would be somebody's murder at one of your round tables, you know, someone's invited as a guest there, and they're murdered, because you couldn't have any of us murdered. But he had that thought. I really don't think we're going to do that one.
But have a book packager there who gets poisoned.
There's a thought.
His, martini. Or
no, I think I don't think we're going to do that. Likely.
Well, I know you've had a lot of fun with this, Thomas Chastain, and it's certainly a fun read as I skipped through and read the stories. Incidentally, in your first story, Directed Verdict, I was convinced that Philip Rimmer did it. All the way through, I was convinced, just like the cops were. But I couldn't exactly figure out why. So you managed to tie up all the ends.
Well, I tell you, that's an interesting thing, because not everybody did, but some other people felt the same way you do. And the curious thing about that is that it's very rare that this happens to me, but this is the truth in this case of what happened here. When I was writing this story, I myself did not know who the murderer was.
But in the back of your mind,
yes.
I guess you did, because you didn't make Philip Rimmer out to be a very attractive character.
Yes, but you see, at that point, I wasn't sure I wasn't going to switch it off. Up until almost the end of the book, I had really had the notion of the other guy being the murderer and this going through this whole thing.
The Peeping Tom.
Yes, and it was not until... Actually, I got to a certain point in the story that I decided that it had to be, that's all, it just was Rimmer. And that's interesting, because that really happens to me. I can make changes in books and stuff, as I go along, but not like that. This never really happened to me before.
Well, Thomas Chastain, you're living proof that murder can be fun if it's in the right place between the covers of books. Thank you very much for coming in and chatting with me.
Thank you, Don. Thank you.